Good morning. Glad you're joining us this morning. If you have a Bible, I want you to grab it. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. We were there last week. We were encouraged to seek God with all of our heart. His word says that we can find Him when we do that. Hang on. Because this morning I have a lot of questions for us. One of the questions I have for you this morning is, did you have a great week seeking the Lord with all of your heart? And if you did, I'd love to hear about it. The other question I'd like to present to you is, what does it mean to prosper and to have hope in a future? This is what we'll be looking at this morning. Father, I thank you for this time that we set apart to focus on your word, and I pray that you would speak to us through it. I thank you for the people have gone through struggles in life, that people have documented it and written and told about it so that we can learn from them. And God, I pray that your word would speak to us this morning, that your spirit would minister to our spirits, and that we would come to understand that you are a firm foundation to stand on as we try to work our way and walk our way through this thing we call life. Go before us now as we enter into your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah is giving the Israelites words of hope from God. He was speaking to a nation devoid of hope. These people turned their backs to faith and were refusing to practice, follow, obey, or recognize faith in the one true God is the only way to live a successful life. They had given themselves over to idolatry. These people had turned from God's law and order to a state of injustice and lawlessness. Jeremiah 19 describes how they were living and how wicked they had become. Check it out for yourself. They had abandoned their faith and worship of the God of Abraham to the point of offering their children to be burnt as sacrifices to Baal. As you read through the chapters of the book of Jeremiah, you can almost sense God's heart breaking. When you put yourself in Jeremiah's sandals, you feel his anguish. These people knew of the laws God had set up to follow in the book of Leviticus. In his judgment and as part of his law, God would deliver the Israelites into the hands of the enemy, either to be killed or to be carried into exile. The sin of the people had become so great that God had raised his righteous right hand of judgment as to say, enough. Put yourself in the Israelites' place as they were being carried away to exile. What was going through their minds? They may have been thinking, what future do we have now? We've lost our freedom and identity. We're no longer a nation. Think about it. Without a future to look forward to, where is hope? The book of Jeremiah is a letter of hope. Chapter 29 is written to the survivors who had been exiled to Babylon. Verses 10 and 11 say, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When you read verse 11 in the New American Standard Bible, it gives a snapshot of God's plan. Plans for welfare and not calamity. To give you a future and a hope. Welfare suggests a state of well-being, goodness, or a sense of peace. That's God's plan. Back in Jeremiah 24, verses 4 through 7, God spoke of his promise to the Israelites through Jeremiah. We read in chapter 24 at verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came to me." This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. "Like these good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I sent away from this place to the land of the Babylonians. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all of their heart." Question. This past week, have you been seeking God with all of your heart? The promise from God was that he would bring the people back to the land from where he had sent them into exile. God, in his mercy and in his perfect timing, restored the people not only to where they were intended to be, but also to who they were supposed to be. The truth is, this may take a lifetime. For me, 70 years is a long time. It's close to the average lifespan of 80 years for a person today. If I asked Ada if she had enjoyed her long life, she would more than likely say, looking back, it was too short. Why is it that difficult life situations seem to be so long going through them? On our prayer call Thursday night, you may remember Harold, who celebrates 92 years today, said, "Time flies when you're having fun." And then he added to that, "It flies by when you're not, too." It's all about perspective. Not too long ago, in the early portion of the last century, often people didn't live past the age of 70. So you can imagine when God proclaimed that he would fulfill his promise when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, many of the Israelites would have not seen the promise fulfilled. Think of this. Most of the Israelites were to remain in exile for the rest of their lives. Only their descendants would experience God's promise. Sometimes, this is part of God's plan. We read at the start of this chapter that God had this command for the exiled Israelites. Jeremiah 29:5-7 says, "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. See the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile." God's plan was to have them learn to remain faithful to him throughout their lifetime, at all costs, no matter the situation. How is this accomplished? What is it to look like? What is God's plan for my life? Does he want me to prosper and be blessed in the way some churches preach their prosperity, health, and wealth message? Some preachers say, "Claim these verses as your own, and God will fulfill your desires." Many believe from these verses that God's purpose for their lives is that of never-ending blessing, free from struggle and pain, financial wealth. All you have to do is walk around chanting, "I believe, I receive." This perspective of God's blessing cannot be further from the truth. God's blessings so often are revealed at our most difficult, lowest, and saddest times in and throughout our life. Think about it. When was the last time you gained wisdom and truth about life, about people, about yourself, about God and knowing who God is? Was it during times of celebration and fun? Or was it during times of unrest and difficulty? These are called life lessons, and we are to learn from them. Granted, we can read books or biographies of successful people to gain valuable knowledge on how to go forward in life, but there is nothing like the first-hand experience and depth of understanding gained when God begins working His plan in and through the challenging times throughout life. We need to come to understand that God is at the center of whatever circumstance we may go through. He has our best interest at heart. Too often, I think, we think we know better as to what the best interest in our life is to be. God is interested in the direction we're going. He's interested in our understanding of who He is, our spiritual maturity, our character, and how we are to live blessed and fearless lives. Jeremiah 17:7-9 reveals, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." The one who is blessed is not exempt from the troubles of life. These verses do not indicate that God will remove the difficult situations in life. The heat and the drought come. They tell us that the one who trusts in God is like a tree planted by the water. It does not fear when the heat comes. It has no worries in the year of drought. The person who trusts in the Lord can be confident of the enduring faithfulness of God to enable them to successfully ride out the difficult situations this life might throw their way. God is the source of hope. Earlier, God declared His plan for welfare, for the welfare of the Israelites, to give them hope and a future. The Israelites simply were to call on Him and to seek Him with all of their heart. The message that comes forefront in this passage is about restoring a holy relationship between God and the people of Israel. God's plan for the people to prosper, have hope, and a future is the byproduct if and when that relationship is restored. Hope is found in a lifelong pursuit of God. God intends for us to live a life in pursuit of a relationship with Him through daily communication with Him in prayer and gaining valuable information from His Word. It means putting faith into action when God allows us to go through challenging times, no matter how long it may take. It means we are to pursue God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. To be successful, the pursuit of God must be motivated by the will, saying, "At all cost, I will serve You, Lord." It cannot last if your motivation is simply by ritual or routine. 1 hour, one time a week, will never do. Our pursuit of God comes when we come to understand just how lost we were before God found us. We experience a love and joy like no other, which leads to the desire to walk with God, to become the person God created us to be. Hope is found when we acknowledge Jesus is Lord of our life. What does it mean to prosper and have hope and a future. It means our relationship with God has been restored. God's plan is for us to live a life in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your whole life? Are you asking God to guide you as you go about your day and acting on the opportunities He has carried you to? Jeremiah 29:11 through 14 is a promise to you from God. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile. Today, allow God to restore the relationship He has planned for you. God, I thank you that you do have a plan for our life, and I pray that we would stand on the promises we find in God's Word, that you will be with us, that you will never leave nor forsake us. God, I pray that we would never forget that, and that we would stand on these promises. I ask this in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen.